Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV for the Instant Match Reaction Show. A few weeks ago, we decided to do this show because we thought, well, let's get some content out there. Let's have a little bit of a chat around a match in here. Unfortunately, you know, Liverpool have been really good for the longest spell of time, probably since we've done the Red Men in general. Not great to do these shows.
Paul,
when we
can
don't
we just
win.
Go back to winning every week? Yeah. I like winning every week.
Yeah, no, I think it goes without saying that let's just do that for the rest of the season from now on. Chris, there's no escape. You know me, I'm an upbeat kind of guy. I like to see the positives and things, and I don't think this game was without positives, but they're limited to two individuals pretty much on the pitch. I thought the performance was just horrendous pretty much from start to finish.
Yeah, pretty much, mate. I think Klopp kind of got it tactically wrong tonight. I think, you know, the midfield just didn't work for me. And, you know, they pressed, they harried, they chased us round when we were in possession. But we looked really poor on the ball, didn't we? You know, we couldn't string any passes together. I think it was probably four shots that we had all game. And how many times did we work the ball into their box? It wasn't many. Mm. You know, every one of our shots come from outside the box, and that's very un-Liverpool.
Yeah, no, it's true. The big problem I think we had, I mean, look, he didn't play long enough, Keita, for us to be able to say definitively that was a major reason. And although it was obvious by the only high point that he had in the game, because Naby Keita was pretty crap, to be fair, when he was playing. He kept giving the ball away as well. But he had that driving run through the middle of the pitch, and you thought, let's see more of that. Let's do more of that. It goes off, and the midfield, you know, you end up having to shift three players because one guy goes off. So Gini ends up going to the right, Milner moves over to the left, and Henderson comes in the six. And look, we've said this time and time again, that midfield is fine. It's absolutely fine. You can get through most games, and in certain circumstances, that can be enough for you. But I think we get away with a lot of stuff when your front three are on absolutely scintillating goal-scoring form. As it was, it was quite everything we did was...
That's not good enough for me, though, mate, because that's the midfield. How many times have we seen that midfield? Mm. Do you know what I mean? And we've seen that midfield go up against loads of different types of side, and they've performed well against all different types of side. Yeah. Pressing sides, non-pressing sides, 4-4-2s, 4-3-2-1s. We've seen it all.
Yeah.
So we know that those players can do it.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it might not be your game plan, but you've got to be able to react in the moment.
Yeah.
And the lads didn't.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to put the foot on the ball, and they weren't able to take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Fundamental
regardless
issue.
Of Keita being there or not.
No. The fundamental issue was an inability to pass the ball to
exactly.
Other people in red shirt. But there's a point of the game plan. We no longer had the players on the pitch to perform the game plan that was clearly set.
But the
up
game
for.
Plan didn't look like it was working anyway, to be
it
honest
was,
with
well,
you.
Yeah, but we still looked...
I mean, the game plan isn't get Keita on the ball and hope he scores a goal. The game plan is to work the ball into the forwards, and we were never able to do that. We still had seven lads behind the front three who should be able to do that.
What we lacked, and whether it's tactical or otherwise, is nobody took the initiative to drive through from midfield. Mm. And maybe you could argue that as I was saying about that midfield, in the top level games where it's drilled and it knows exactly what it's doing in the game, then yeah, maybe. But when you're playing top quality opposition against a top quality manager, you need everything to be perfect for you. And the thing is, Liverpool was so far short of perfect that, as I say, it's not right to say that it's an individual, any particular things. It was just a fucking terrible performance all over. but we just didn't get a grip. We, at no point did we feel like we had a grip on that game. At no point did we feel like we'd worked out a way to play or whatever. Yeah. And it's credit to Napoli in that regard. But yeah, look, James Milner did what James Milner does. Wijnaldum did what Wijnaldum's done a lot in games since he's been a Liverpool player, and that was basically vanish from the team. We didn't see him trying to do the things that have been working in the limited time that we'd seen them. And Jordan Henderson, for all the will in the world, moves the ball on fine, and he
looked good
that,
in the first maybe 10-15 minutes he came on the pitch. Second half, I didn't think he looked good at all. To be
honest, didn't
with
touch
you.
The ball for the first 15 minutes. Yeah, he came on the pitch. Maybe that's why.
When he came on the pitch, he did that run going forwards, and he knocked that little through ball to Firmino when he thought he was offside and stuff. And Robertson gets it. Yeah. You know, that was that driving run that Klopp was maybe looking for, just not from your six. Yeah. Now I'd said earlier on in the, maybe it was half time, I'd like maybe you try bringing Fabinho in here and you try and bring Henderson into that eight to do a little bit of that, because it was all static, it was all sideways, it was all dead boring, there was no adventure to anyone's play. You know, Andy Robertson, really poor game from him. Mm-hmm. You know, what we've come to expect from Andy Robertson is a guy who's willing to go down the outside, but Callaghan had him pinned back, didn't he? You know, the pace that Callaghan has, he wasn't able to stick with that. He wasn't able to play his natural free game and get down that left-hand side. Equally on the right-hand side, Trent had a really poor game in possession of the football.
Yeah.
Just kept giving the ball away. And that's the thing is, you might be able to get away with it in the Premier League, against good sides even in the Premier League, but in Europe, in those type of atmospheres, you need more than just that. You need to be able to go and carve a team apart. And they played us really well. It looked like early on in the game, Paul, that they were going to play a really high line and we were going to be able to get behind there. And they carried on playing that high line and we weren't able to work the ball through to them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that the Mane and Salah ended up as wingers in that game, and Firmino's toiling and is dropping deep, and his link only works if other people are going to be able to vacate the space, or if you get people close to him. There was nothing, there was no bridge between midfield and attack at all, other than Roberto Firmino. Mane was fine, and he looked the most potent of our front three in it going forward, because he was beating men. But he's beaten two men and he's still got four men in front of him. He's not going to take on the whole team and get by. And again, it just boils down to the fundamentals for me. The thing was, everyone's passing. Even the players who played really well, you would say Joe Gomez's passing was exceptional in the game. He was our man of the match by an absolute, you know, country mile. But it wasn't like he was the one leading it by everyone misplaced passes, left, right and centre. I can't think of many times where we strung together three or four passes. The whole thing
wasn't
just
between the centre-backs and maybe the full-backs.
Jesus Christ. There wasn't between our goalkeeper and the rest of their midfield.
As soon as you started getting into the midfield, we were just giving the ball away. And listen, I think a lot of credit has to go to Napoli, because I thought they worked incredibly hard to win the ball back, and they were harrying. They weren't giving us any time to settle on the ball and get into a groove. And sometimes Liverpool play the ball around at the back to get themselves into a groove.
Yeah.
But we noticed early in the first half, we had our four defenders back, and obviously we had the ball between us, and they had their two centre forwards and the two wingers dead high, which then meant Liverpool players needed to be brave and play a ball in. And that's what Klopp was gesticulating on the side for, get that ball whipped around.
Yeah.
Because once you've beaten that first level of press,
you're
into it then. You can get a little bit of a move together, but we weren't brave enough on the ball. And that's when you need someone like a Van Dijk or a Robertson to just fizz a ball in. Normally it's been Trent. Trent's been that guy to just whip one into Firmino and play off him. But I think our midfield was too worried about moving forwards that we'd leave the defence under
the
duress.
The whole thing is completely undermined by an inability to pass the ball to other people, because play on the counter, fine, I don't mind. Don't mind ceding possession to Napoli away from home. If we've decided that's what we're going to do, if we're not going to go and blitz them in half an hour, then fine, sit back and soak it up, trust the defence and hit them on the counter. And there were like two opportunities for counter-attacks, and we either chose the wrong pass or someone completely misplayed the pass, and you cut the legs off any chance you've got of doing anything. And that's why this game was a cataclysmic failure of footballing ability. It's not fair to say this guy had a poor game and that's why we lost, because you can't say they conceded a goal because one of our centre-halves made a mistake, which has been our problem for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. It's not that at all. You know. Maybe you could say Robertson could get tighter in certain situations, blah, 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 whatever. We rode our luck at times. Again, they're a good side. Our problem simply was no one held the ball up. No one passed the ball to another person. There was no link-up play. And you're right, you need bravery. It was kind of like the Man City away game in the Champions League. They got a lot of guys that committed then to attack. They also got bodies behind the ball brilliantly as well, to be fair. And it did just need someone to just get hold of the ball in the midfield, turn it round, get, you know, break the press. And there was just no one seemingly willing to do that. And it makes you wonder whether that we'd have been better just trying something a bit different.
You know, I agree with what you were saying at the beginning. You know, I do feel like it was that midfield runner that we needed. I would have thrown Shaqiri in there and had a go, it's maybe, you know what I mean? If you're not going to do the Fabinho thing earlier, I just feel like Ancelotti got it spot on. The way that they moved us from side to side and then quickly attacked the opposite side, that's how you play against zonal sides. That's, most teams are zonal now, especially high-pressing sides. If you can shift them to the left-hand side and quickly get the ball out to the right, that's where their area, the space is. So, you know, that always leaves the fullback exposed. Yeah. And that's something that Ancelotti's side did very, very well, the speed of movement. Compare that to what Liverpool were doing. When we were playing down the left-hand side, we tried to switch it. It was just dead slow. It was a little bit mundane.
Would you kick that up like this?
I don't know if we were or we weren't, because half the time, they were on frigging replays.
Oh, my God.
And we'd give them the ball back to them. And you're like, what the fuck's
happened here? I'd love to know. There was at least four goal kicks that we've got no idea, watching at home, how Liverpool lost possession, because we simply weren't shown that. And there'll be people who are watching this after the fact or listening to it, who were at the game, who might have a clearer idea. And I don't know whether it was like we lost a hard fought back or a move just broke down. No idea. You know, and so it all feeds into the notion that Liverpool was so bad that it genuinely felt like we were just giving them possession back. And, well, we don't really want it, lads. Go and have another attack. And you're right. So much of what we do, the best parts of what we do, are based on quick movement, quick passing, quick interplay, give, go, shift, move. And if you can't string three passes together, the way we play football will fall apart. And to be fair, you can kill a team with two passes, but we couldn't string two fucking passes together to launch a counter-attack. All a counter-attack needs is to edit out the box. One guy takes a touch and then he smacks it into
a channel.
I'm not
even sure the one that we're probably thinking of. We needed to pass the ball.
Jesus Christ.
Do you know what I mean? It was like a 3-on-1. At that point, Liverpool are the Red Arrows. How many times have we said that we attack like the frigging Red Arrows? Well, one of them had just been fucking shot in the jet engine and went into a fucking turn spin and the ball goes out of play. And you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it was
ridiculous.
It was dog shit. The whole thing was utterly dog shit. And yeah, the only thing is, I wonder with the Shaqiri thing, I just can only imagine that he simply doesn't trust Shaqiri in the midfield.
I couldn't trust any lad to pass the ball to another lad.
No.
I mean, he really must distrust Shaqiri. No. That and the fact that we come up against 7 Koulibaly's on the night.
You said it, and I think Bailey said it as well. There was defo more than one Koulibaly playing tonight.
That's not fair, that.
He was playing left wing. He's not even playing left back. Like, if he's playing left-back and he'd use him as auxiliary left-back and he's flying down the wing, you'd be like, go ahead, what a mad performance. He was playing left-sided centre-half and he was inside our box. His booking came on the left wing, snapping Virgil van Dijk. What?
Yeah.
I think he
would be Mamadou Sakho and Andy Robertson put together into one player. If we'd have signed him, I may have built a statue of him.
He is like, Mamadou Sakho is to Kalidou Koulibaly. It's like if you see those knockoff action figures, like the really black ones, and they say Spider Hero, and it's like Spider-Man in a Superman costume or whatever, and they're just really dodgy plastic and the legs are on wrong. And basically, that, you know, I see Koulibaly, he was absolutely outstanding, and I would genuinely love us to sign him, but he was great.
He's mad as a box of frogs as well.
Totally, full of entertainment. But here's another thing, Chris. That he picks up a stupid yellow card. Their centre half, their best centre half, say, picks up a yellow card on the left wing, fouling our centre half. Well, you know what you do? You drop Mo Salah 5 or 10 yards, and you start pinging the ball into his feet, and you just say, Mo, you're just going to hold this, mate, and you're going to get clattered a couple of times from behind.
Who would you have trusted to ping the ball into his feet?
Oh, my God, I know. Well, in the general area. Kick it in the general area. Callum's a cooler ball, and hope for the best. No, I know. Yeah, again, all of these fundamental game plans, totally undercut by the fact that we couldn't pass to another guy in a red shirt.
The pitch was shit.
And you said, the pitch was shit for both teams. Now, qualification on that. It's their home ground, so they're used to whatever it was. But it can be no excuse because you're a professional footballer. We should be able to kick a football on any surface. If they wanted to have a game on the moon, I'm sure they'd be better than the average man. But yeah, they were so bad tonight, so horrendously bad. Joe Gomez wasn't though. That was almost a perfect centre half performance from him.
Yeah, I think I do think people will probably blame him a little bit for the goal, and you know, I'm not saying that he's completely and utterly faultless, but I'm not putting any blame on him for that because I just think the ball is world class. Yeah. And sometimes you've got to go,
I look at it,
couldn't have done that. Yeah. Even if I knew the ball was going there from where I was, I wasn't getting that.
Even if Joe Gomez had slid, the way the ball bent round, it was perfect.
It took Alisson out, and it took the fucking defender out.
Exactly, and it's such a shame because, I mean, to be fair, we it was coming. You know, they had all the best attacks. They got it locked. They rattled the crossbar as well. I think Alisson gets a fingertip to it, which is great. I thought Alisson was really good actually.
Mate, Robertson gets beat by Callahan. And Alisson has to come out for it. I gave 2 9s, and it was Alisson and Gomez on the night. And the only other player that really I thought was good was Virgil van Dijk again. Yeah. But then equally, I thought there was a few poor mistakes from him and uncharacteristic mistakes. And I said on my match reaction, Paul, that it felt today like it was a lackadaisical performance at times from van Dijk. And normally I say that with a slight different tone, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, he's so cool and he's so calm, but it felt a little bit too lax today, and I don't know what it was. It just didn't seem I'm not sure anyone really looked fit tonight.
No, it did look leggy, didn't he? And a lot of this comes back to the midfield as well. I think the problem is James Milner's played too much football. Jordan Henderson was clearly being rested for the weekend for this, and we've thrown him in without a warm-up, etc. We've shifted the balance of the midfield round. It's clearly not, you know, we talk about horses for courses. We're meant to have horses for courses. That midfield is the thing that gets changed to suit our opposition. And if that midfield was the right midfield to play Napoli, I'm pretty sure that's the midfield that would have started the game. Hopefully it's the midfield that's right for City because we haven't got a great deal of choice all of a sudden, other than maybe Fabinho, who I actually thought was good when he came on, to be fair. And seeing Henderson actually play with a bit more advanced, letting Henderson actually run forward a bit. A couple of moments when he charged down the right, he absolutely skinned their left back, didn't he, at one point, which was great. He had a couple of little moments. He looked more threatening than any of our other midfielders in the final third, and that's because he had two moments when he got into the final third, which is more than the rest of them did. This is not me sitting here and saying Jordan Henderson was really good, by the way.
What would you rate him?
6, probably. I think the rest of them, I think Milner was probably a 5, Genie was probably a 5. I think everyone was 5 or below, with the exception of Gomez and Alisson. I thought we were just shit, weren't we? Salah was shit. Firmino worked his bollocks off. And again, the problem is that his rating is dragged down by the people around him. Because if he's got no one to link up with, he's not going to win a game. He can't win a game single-handedly. They defended brilliantly, Chris. You know, they did feel like they had more men on the pitch than us. Because whenever we were defending, they had loads of men in attack. And when we managed to get the ball down the other end, they were all there. It was freakish. One to forget, I think.
Absolutely one to forget.
If we'd come away with that, there would have been a temptation. I'm glad. I don't think we would have been able to say that's a vintage European away performance if we dogged that out, because we were so terrible for the whole game. And people said did Klopp played for a draw. Maybe
I don't think Klopp ever plays for a draw.
Yeah, and I don't think he played for a true draw. I just think we played ourselves into a position where the only thing we could hope for was a draw, because we were so blunt going the other way. If we'd got it, it would have been a very, very lucky point, and it would have been an amazing point. But, you know, Napoli would have been gutted if they'd not won that game. They deserved it, and yeah, that's all that we can really say.
There's loads to talk about tomorrow, though, on the final word, isn't there? I mean, I want to talk about the front three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's been a few weeks now. We're getting into the season. Let's have a proper discussion about the front three and where we think that's going. And, you know, there's other things that we can really talk about. There, Klopp's substitutions. There's so many talking points that other than we've talked about.
Yeah, and if anyone's got any you think we've not covered or points, you know, you want to raise or individuals you want us to discuss in more depth and detail, let me know in the comments. As I've been doing for a few weeks now, I pull some of the best comments in and put them into the final word and we do discuss them. So, yeah, if you want to watch that show, I know you might be thinking, look, I'm done with this game. You might not. There's probably a lot of people who've just not watched this video, and that's fair. You handle the feet how you want to handle them. But if you do need talking through, and if you need talking down from the ledge, we're here. We're going to be doing it anyway. And if you want us to do it and you want to get your comments involved and all that, get over to theredmentv.com. The final word, we're here. We're going
to
do it.
I can't wait to wake up and watch this game again.
Oh, yeah. God. Might just watch the highlights. The highlights, that's going to be a short watch, isn't it? Get us to redmentv.com. You can try it for a month.
It's just a team walk out again, Paul.
Basically. That'd be Kate's run. And Jordan Henderson skinning that guy on the wing, and that's it. No, a lot of Joe Gomez stepping in and tidying stuff up. That's absolutely fine. Yeah. Go over to theredmentv.com, sign up. Yeah, it's free for the first month, so you can go and have a look at what we're doing. We are relaunching the website as well next week. Very, very exciting stuff lined up. Loads of new features. You can get all this in podcast form. You can get it in your podcast app, all on theredmentv.com. So go over, sign up. If you're a glutton for punishment, or if you've got a bit of a need for gallows humour, we've got you covered. So get over there, and we'll see you over there. Ta-da.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.